And now,
great to be back.
Back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
Awesome.
And your host, Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is smorgasbord. Each of my guests has an interesting morsel of knowledge to share with us about his subject. My next guest is considered a media ecologist. He has examined the generation of 21.2 million Americans that were born between the years 1991 and 1995, and he's drawn some remarkable conclusions about the generation's views on sex, politics, and saving the world. We'll discuss his findings contained in his latest book, Hooked Up. Jack Myers is a media economist and vice president of Media Advisory Group, which advises and invests in early stage companies that advance and support the media and advertising business. Jack writes the weekly Jack Myers Media Business Report and publishes Jack Myers Wall Street Business Media Report, the JackMyersThinkTank.com and MediaBizBloggers.com blog platform for industry thought leaders. He is the author of three books on advertising. He's a recipient of the George Foster Peabody Award for Journalism and has won the Crystal Heart Award from Heartland Film Festival and has been nominated for both an Academy and an Emmy Award. Jack's three-decade career includes consulting work with more than 250 leading corporations and senior management positions at CBS and ABC Radio. Welcome to the show, Jack. How are you today?
Wow, that's a great intro. Thanks, Bill.
Well, nothing more than a recap of your career so far, which has been pretty remarkable. I loved your book, Hooked Up. I'm always fascinated by these types of studies. But I guess I want to start with, typically, when you do a generational study, that encompasses a period of, say, 20 to 30 years, because that's a generation. But you've really chosen to focus in on a unique subset of just 5 years, the generation that's born between 1991 and 1995. Which, coincidentally, is the group of graduate coming out of colleges beginning this year. And you make the case that the children born in this five-year period may be the most important generation in history, a bridge generation, as you call it, between the pre- and post-internet millennials, or I think the term that you use is internet pioneers. So make your case. What makes this group of individuals so unique?
Well, in fact, I didn't choose this group to write about. They really chose me. Millennials are usually considered the group born 1982 to 2002, but right in the middle, in 1993, along came the Internet. And the Internet's a dividing line. It differentiates and defines everything that came before the Internet from everything that came after the Internet and everyone who came after the Internet. So, as I was looking at... All right, what's the difference between those who came before and those who came after? And I started studying them. I found this five-year bridge generation. I call them Internet pioneers. They still have the sensibilities and sensitivities. They carry the baggage of the pre-Internet generations of the last two decades. But they're the first to give us a window into the post-Internet generation, a vision into the future. And I like to consider them the first to cross the chasm between the pre and the post. And as a bridge generation, as pioneers, they're leaders. And they're really taking on all the defined attributes of leaders. They're focused on building. They're looking to build a more stable future. They've grown up in a world of chaos and disruption. They're looking to build a more tolerant society. They're looking to do social good and to use online tools because they're so formed in online realities. They're looking to use online tools to bring people together because they've experienced so much polarization. And this includes economic balance because they have a real clear understanding of the economic challenges ahead. So what I really found was that there's this unique bridge generation between pre- and post-internet who are a fascinating group and very different from those who came before and a window to those who will be coming after, the internet natives.
My guest is Jack Myers. And Jack, in that answer, you described the internet pioneers, this generation, the hooked-up generation, as leaders. Are they willing leaders or are they reluctant leaders, would you say?
Wow, that's a great question. They're neither, really. They're leaders by the nature of being the first group to truly understand how to use the Internet to create stability. They've not only grown up with the Internet, but they've grown up with two decades of technological acceleration, of economic collapse, of political polarization, of 9/11, of a war on terror. They've experienced so much disruption and polarization in their lives that they turn to the internet almost as a community center. It's global, and on the internet, everyone is equal. So they have strong opinions, but they're a little reluctant to voice those opinions strongly. But they also have no patience for those who are intolerant of the opinions of others. They're turned off completely by the polarization we've been experiencing and the collapse of economic and financial ethics over the last two decades. So they're looking to achieve stability in their lives, economic stability, social stability, political stability. So it's not that they're either eager or reluctant to be leaders, but because they have the skills and the competencies and the capabilities to use online tools to achieve that stability, they're going to increasingly be put into the position of being leaders, and I think they'll be very willing participants in that process.
My guest is Jack Myers. We're talking about the hooked up generation. So, Jack, if you had to describe the hooked up generation in just a word or two, what would that be?
Well, unfortunately, Bill, the word is wary. I think they're wary about having strong feelings. They're worried about taking strong positions, again, because of the polarization they've experienced. They're wary about their future prospects and their plans and their ability to contribute to and influence the world, which they truly want to do. And because of the nature of the last 20 years that they've been growing up in, they're wary about the economy, about politics, about institutions, organizations, movements, trends, and relationships. And that wariness, unfortunately, extends to their teachers, their coaches, the clergy, celebrities. So they're wary, but they are willing to take positions and to take stands. They feel very strongly that diversity and acceptance of human rights is a birthright. They feel very strongly about women's rights, about sexual rights, and they're willing to take a stand on moving forward on those issues and voting those issues, frankly.
Well, I want to delve into all of that, Jack, but one of the things I found curious, I agree that after reading your book that they're wary about the economy, politics, even relationships with people, their coaches, their teachers, clergy. I mean, they have every right to be wary about all of that. One thing that they didn't seem very wary about, though, is privacy on the internet. This is the first generation, really, to have their entire lives recorded on the internet. How does this almost paradox of being wary about institutions, being wary about other things, and being so free and liberal with what goes on the internet, how do they rationalize or justify those two things?
You know, it's a great issue, because privacy is obviously something that's a huge issue going forward, and they truly do give up a tremendous amount of their privacy in the future, and they somewhat reflect the conundrum between you know, it's almost like an Apple versus a Google, or an Apple versus a Microsoft, open versus closed society. They operate very comfortably at the edge of technology and artistry in the way that Apple does, and they're very much children of Apple. But in terms of privacy, they're much more intelligent and understand much more clearly than most people privacy issues. And they're sophisticated about privacy issues, but they have a great amount of trust in companies like Apple and like Amazon and like Google. And as long as those companies don't lose their trust, they're going to continue to trust that their privacy will be maintained in ways that they're comfortable with. They're really okay giving up a tremendous amount of privacy in terms of the benefits they derive from the internet and their ability to communicate, and they like the idea that the internet is understanding who they are, what their interests are, what their needs are, and connecting them in ways that no generation before them have ever been able to be connected.
Ironic that they are wary of institutions and organizations, yet give up some of that freedom to companies like Google and Apple and so forth.
You know, it's interesting. We asked them what their attitudes were toward corporations, and they were very wary of corporations. But then we said, do you consider these companies, and we listed a few of those, you know, like Apple, Amazon, and Google, do you consider them to be large corporations? And the majority said, no, we don't.
It's very interesting. My guest is Jack Myers, author of the book Hooked Up, A New Generation's Surprising Take on Sex, Politics, and Saving the World. Jack, I love the title of your book. It's a nice double entendre, Hooked Up. One of the more remarkable findings that you discovered in this generation's attitude is towards sexuality. Describe how their attitudes are different. And one of the more interesting findings, I thought, was their attitude towards same-sex marriage.
Yes, they're in general, they follow a more moderate and progressive line politically, and they will vote those. Only 10% say they don't intend to vote in the next presidential election or in future elections. And on most issues, 70 to 85% will vote a more progressive, moderate stance. On the sexuality issue, it's really interesting. They're hooking up. Clearly, the title of the book is a double entendre. They're hooked up and hooked together by the Internet, but they're also hooking up in relationships defined by the Internet and managed on the Internet. And there are two reasons that they tend to be more sexually liberated, and especially the women. The first is that they're a very female-centric society. 60% of college graduates over the next decade are going to be women. They're going to be progressively more involved in dominating all aspects of society and business. And these women understand the challenges ahead. They're working really hard. Their heads are down. They're very focused. And the last thing they want right now are long-term relationships. They're looking forward to marriage and children in their late 20s, early 30s, but they're not interested in relationships now. On the other hand, they've grown up with images online and movies and TV of sex and sexuality. And their belief in human equality extends to sex as well. They can be sexy and smart, sexual and serious. And among both men and women, interestingly, there's no baggage attached to sexual liberation. So women do feel more and more free to hook up in short-term relationships sexually with men and partners who they're choosing. And they believe that sexual liberation extends to same-sex marriage, gay relationships. They're very open, and they're not encumbered because everyone is free and liberated on the Internet. They're not encumbered by a lot of the biases that older generations experience. And by the way, while they're not a vocal group of political activists, they are very vocal online, and the women's rights area is a very high priority among both men and women, and they will vote that issue.
My guest is Jack Myers, author of the book Hooked Up. Jack, you assert that this is the generation that will determine the future and change the world. And while I agree with you that may be true over time, I'm going to challenge you on this, at least for now. The first members of this generation are just graduating college starting this year. Where are they going to find the jobs? I mean, this is the first generation in history to be squeezed out of the workforce by an older generation, the very large baby boom generation. In fact, statistically, for the first time in history, the number of workers over age 55 surpasses the number of workers between the ages of 25 and 34. Never has that happened in history before. And the financial crash of 2007-2008 is forcing many baby boomers to postpone retirement and stay in their positions of leadership, which then means, of course, that the hooked up generation won't get involved, at least at the higher levels of authority, until the baby boomers retire. Add to this, I mean, the distrust of institutions and business that you talked about before, it doesn't bode well for employment. So how are they going to take over, at least, and take command of the financial side of the world with all of this facing them?
All huge challenges. You're absolutely right. I do believe they're at the forefront of a movement that is going to be setting a new stabilizing course for humanity and for business after 20 years or more of chaos and disruption. But I also agree it'll take decades before their true influence and importance will be fully recognized and understood. In the meantime, I look at the job market a little differently than the statistics would suggest, because I believe that it will be increasingly recognized by not just business, but in education circles, in religious circles, across all aspects of business, society, and culture, that this generation has the leadership skills in terms of how to use the Internet effectively, and all aspects of business will need those skills in order to effectively grow their businesses and grow their marketplace online. So they will increasingly turn to this generation, the first ones to graduate from college, having grown up with the Internet and with these skills, an innate and inherent part of their DNA. So businesses and all aspects of culture and society will need this generation in order to lead their companies. I believe more and more that we're going to find this generation of Internet pioneers are going to become the mentors rather than the mentees, that companies are going to require them in their organizations to help them understand how to communicate and market to the next generations of Internet natives who are going to be increasingly important as consumers, and also how to use the Internet effectively to communicate with those 30, 40, 50, and 60-plus.
All right. Now, that's an interesting point. My guest is Jack Myers. But, Jack, let me take that at one step farther if we can, because I would agree with you that this generation, the hooked-up generation, needs to mentor existing business people today so they can attract new customers from the next generation of Internet-savvy kids. But there's also talk going around that the kids in this generation lack the social skills that their parents and grandparents had. They don't know how to have a face-to-face meeting. The stereotypical example of the parent and the child sitting at the table in a restaurant, each texting to one another, is sort of the image that comes to mind. And that shows a lack of certain interpersonal skills. So how do you balance those two things?
Well, I do believe that that's the most critical role for older generations in terms of helping this generation move into a more legacy model of society, and especially within corporate organizations and social infrastructures. That you're absolutely right. They've developed a set of skills that are very different from those that have been needed traditionally, and they are going to need how to learn how to operate within hierarchy, because when they're online, there is no hierarchy. There's total equality. They're able to interact with people of not just all race, creed, color. Global borders becoming increasingly irrelevant, and technology is going to further knock down those borders of all types. But those hierarchies still remain, and we're going to have to educate them how to operate. Right now, a young intern working in a business is very likely to walk into the president's office, throw himself on the couch, and say, "What's up, dude?" and have no reluctance to do that. And we don't want to break down those attitudes and that sense of freedom, but we do want to educate them that they need to understand that organizations still operate. But I do believe that over the next two decades, we're going to see traditional silos within organizations collapse. We're going to see shifts from a focus on change agents to a focus on stability agents. And how do we create stability within organizations with chaos all around? And that we're going to increasingly depend on these Internet pioneers to help us understand how to do that.
And we're going to have to leave it there. My guest has been Jack Myers, author of the book Hooked Up, A New Generation's Surprising Take on Sex, Politics, and Saving the World. Jack, if you've piqued the interest of some of my listeners, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
First place I would send them is Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any bookseller. Put in Hooked Up, Jack Myers, M-Y-E-R-S. And they can also go to hookedupgen.com.
Hookedupgen.com. Jack, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Take care.